listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back. We're live, and God willing, I'm on with you for the full hour because I have a new radio show host from News for the Soul to introduce you to a new family member, Kellyanne Vass. The show is going to be called Coaching in the Akashic, and we're going to introduce her layer by layer, or onion de-peeling, as we do from our traditional first question that I ask everyone that we introduce you to on this network. So let's bring her on and start there. Kellyanne Vass, welcome to News for the Soul.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and so excited to get to know your listeners.
Well, we're excited to get to know you. Our listeners love Akashic Record stuff and Akashic Record meeting, so we're already excited. We don't know anything about you yet, so we're off to a good start. Here's what I want to ask you first. It's the question that connects us all as a community and a movement, grassroots, as it were, now in our 23rd year as News for the Soul, is it's a quest for what's really real and what's really possible. So I ask everyone the first question because it's something that's not often asked, but we always have an interesting answer usually. So, you know, we often have these events that are outside the 3D norm that set us on our path or alter our perspective or wake us up in some manner. So I'm curious what the earliest recollection of something like that might be that you remember, and also your most profound. So wherever you'd like to begin.
Okay, so my earliest would be when I was a little girl, I really wanted to be a priest. And I thought I could be because my parents had told me you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. So around the age of 5, people started asking me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, I want to be a priest. And that was my first message of not good enough, was that I would receive this message from all the human beings in my life, you can't, you're a girl. But when I was at church, I would hear voices telling me, okay, that's love, that there is fear. And it was like I had this spiritual soul translator who was letting me know what was human created and what was created by love. And yeah, so that was my first experience of really being connected to soul.
It's so good that you were connected to that higher discernment too. But do you remember what it was about? I've never heard anyone as a child saying, I want to be a priest.
Well, it turns out now that I've worked with the Akashic Records, it's turned out that I lived many lives in the Vatican, and I've done that before. I have a past life as a pope, past life as priests. So it was almost like I wanted to do it in this lifetime, but differently. I really wanted to be a teacher of love and grace and a student of love and grace. And at that time, everyone told me, oh, you can be a nun. And I was like, I don't want to be a nun. I want to teach.
Yes. So how long did that dream persist for you?
Well, I continued to tell people until grade 6, and then the bullying got too much. So then I started hiding in plain view, and I didn't know there were other, I was a cradle Catholic, so I had no idea that there were other routes for me to do this, to do my purpose, to live my purpose. I had no idea at that time, so I just started hiding and making myself invisible.
While that was going on, though, did you still maintain that connection to the higher source information for discernment?
I did to a point, but something took over. Perfectionism and people-pleasing and really trying to do everything right by human rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I had this deep connection to source still, but I didn't feel, I was even actually sad at church. Like, I didn't feel as connected as I did because, and this still happens at times where I'll be in a man-made religion location and I'll just be overwhelmed with sadness and I'll start crying and get very emotional for what might have been. And as I think one of my trajectories could have been to advocate for women being priests, it was a possible trajectory for me in this lifetime, but it's not the path I took.
Aren't there in certain, I mean, not Catholic, but certain Christian religions, they have female priests now, don't they?
They do, yeah. There's ministers, and there's a lot of opening up to this. And what I realized, too, recently I read Mary Magdalene Revealed. I was really drawn to that book, and I realized that I have a past life as the Pope that made it so women couldn't be priests in the church. So there's been a lot of forgiveness happening there. But yes, there are denominations where women do have strong roles within human man-made religions.
And what exactly was the thinking behind not allowing women to be priests in the first place?
So there's a lot of differing of opinions here, but what I've found is it was fear-based. It was, so if we even look at Mary Magdalene, she was a disciple, but the church made her a prostitute. And it was this human fear of oneness, of wholeness, of there's so much to it, and there's so many years of all the societal energy around the differences between men and women. Even the story of Adam and Eve was rooted in making us separate instead of making us one. And that's our journey back now. The journey within is really knowing that we are all oneness. We're all whole, perfect, and complete. And that there is a possibility of us living in collaboration rather than competition.
Yeah. More on that as we go. So you had gone through, like many of us, a shutdown period where you were feeling a little less disconnected. Where did that lead to next?
Well, it led to exhaustion, actually. So I burned out 3 times before I was the age of 19. I just went full into people pleasing, and I was actually diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. But now thinking back, I think that I was just exhausted, but it was really hard for a doctor to believe that a teenager would be exhausted. And I was born into a beautiful family, and they're listening tonight, so I thank them for listening. And I'm going to give a shout out to my niece, Reese, whose birthday is today, and my niece, Ella, whose birthday is on the 18th. I was born into this beautiful family of competitive curlers and entrepreneurs. And and my dad won the Brier in 1974. For any Canadians listening, you'll know what that is. That's a sport called curling, and it's a winter sport. And he won the Brier in 1974. I think if my mom had not gotten pregnant with me, she would have won the Scott Tournament of Hearts very close to that time as well. So she went to some Canadian nationals for mixed curling and for seniors and masters. So long line of curling in my family. And, you know, I like to say I was type A and I'm moving to type amazing. And so it was really a family that, you know, was driven and really worked hard towards their dreams. But in doing that, there wasn't a lot of boundaries. So sleep was not super valued. And they worked hard and they chased their dreams no matter what. And they gave a lot. They were very generous. So I didn't really learn boundaries or to value sleep or what my breaking point was with my body. I didn't know how to listen to my body. And so the default when I needed rest was I would get exhausted, overwhelmed, and shut down.
Right. So what happened next in the story?
I moved out by the time I was 19, and I started working for the company business and working a part-time job. And I remember as a teenager, I worked three jobs at all times. Like, it was just that entrepreneur spirit in me, I guess, coming through. And I didn't know there was anything weird about it. I didn't know that most people had bedtimes and actually slept. And I was very social as well, because curling was very social. So I think my saving grace was my best friend, who I'm married to now. I married the boy across the back fence. I met him at 15, and he was much more laid back. He was the absolute opposite of me, and I think he saved me, because I thought everyone lived this way. So we got married in 2000. And after being best friends for 10 years. And what happened next was, if I couldn't be a Catholic priest, I was going to be a mom. As a female, I knew I could be a mom. And I think part of my life has been, I'm so excited about everything. Like, honestly, Nicole, I love life. And I did back then, even though life has been really hard for me, I still loved it no matter what. I had a dad who just every ordinary day was an adventure. Like, he'd just make everything in life seem like this great, grand, enthusiastic adventure. And that rubbed off on me. And I really was excited about the possibilities of life. And so I thought, okay, I can be a mom. Well, we went through 7.5 years of unexplained infertility, which I believe I healed through Louise Hay's work. So it was the hardest period of my life, though, and it was really hard because it's grief. It's a loss every month. And so I was working very hard in the family business, and I was promoted to purchasing manager and inventory control. And I was, even though I was good at my job, it was really hard on me. And in 2004, I left there for a nursing. I thought, okay, maybe I'll try nursing. And maybe into my first year of university, I'll get pregnant. And that didn't happen. So I kind of traded one type A adventure for another, because nursing is a very demanding vocation, and I admire nurses so much. At that time, I became a research assistant as well, and I met Dr. Wendy Austin, who was a relational ethics Canadian research chair, and I got assigned to her, which was the belief that, like, she studied that all ethics happen within relationships, and it really set me on a different path. And around that time, a book fell off a shelf at a metaphysical store. I actually had gone shopping with my mom, and she was into many creative hobbies, and one of them was jewelry making. So we went to a metaphysical store that had crystals and jewelry, and she was busy looking at the sparkle, and I was busy looking at what lights me up, books. And literally, Louise Hay's book fell off the shelf. It actually moved and fell in front of me and landed at my feet. And I remember saying, I'll take this one. Now, I didn't read it at the time. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I even looked around to see if anyone witnessed it, but no one else did. I was the only one.
Interesting about that. I can't tell you how many people have said the same words. The book came flying off the shelf, and that started their path. It's so common. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Well, it was quite amazing for me, and I didn't read it at that point. I was going through a really hard time, and I was really suffering a lot. It was kind of my bottom. I wanted a baby so bad, and every month it was just sheer disappointment. And I didn't realize it, but I was grieving, but I was suppressing it. So I mentioned to a friend how hard this was, and she said, well, I think you should read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Mm. So I read it, and I said, I love this, but I think I need The Power of How. And she said, well, maybe you may want to start with Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And I said, I have that book. It fell off a shelf. And she's like, well, you might want to read it. So I did. Mm. And then, of course, Eckhart Tolle made sense to me after that. And I kept telling everyone, there should be a course on this. Like, there should be workshops on You Can Heal Your Life. Like, there really could be workshops on this. And lo and behold, there were. I just didn't know about them. So shortly after that, a few years after that, I immersed myself in everything Hay House at that time, read everything Louise Hay had, really started doing the work, and I ended up going to a baby shower. And by that time, I was really done with being nice about, we had been married since 2000, and it was around 2007 at this time. So everyone is always saying, okay, you've been married a long time. When are you going to have kids? And we were at a baby shower, and we had been to all our friends' birthday parties for their kids, and I loved children, and it was my biggest dream. So when I went to that baby shower, I remember someone asking, and my mom was there, she went with me, and I remember someone asking, and I like just flat out said, we have unexplained infertility. We have less than a 1% chance of conceiving, according to the doctors. Yes, it's my fault. Scott's fine. And I just listed it all. And this beautiful earth angel across the table from me said, I am so sorry. Have you mourned and grieved? And I kind of looked at her, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, "You go through a loss every month. Have you mourned and grieved?" And I cried, and I went home that night, and I cried tears that I think had been stuck inside me for some years or longer. And it makes sense now looking back. I probably denied my femininity when I couldn't be a priest. I probably rejected my femininity when I couldn't be a priest because I was a girl. So I cried all the tears for all of it. And a month later, we were pregnant.
Wow, 1 month. That makes so much sense. Explain it, rejecting the femininity and us staying locked in, building and building and holding all that grief and releasing. And that makes sense energetically.
Yeah. And now a lot of people come to me for emotional healing.
What's interesting about that is because when you said it took you 7 years or whatever to, you weren't working on it for 7 years. You worked on it for a month.
Well, yeah, I think the mindset had changed with Louise.
Mm-hmm.
And then that last piece of forgiveness, you know, that last piece of forgiving myself and allowing myself to grieve.
Yeah. Wow.
Was what released it. Yeah.
All right. So it's a month later, suddenly we're pregnant, 1% chance, blah, 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 blah. None of that really matters.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yes.
I mean, you must have been a little surprised.
I remember I was in nursing school at the time, and I was going into my fourth year, and I remember I was with another mature student who we both went and got a coffee, and I sipped mine, and I'm like, "Oh, this tastes awful." And she said, "Well, let me taste it because mine tastes fine and we got the same order." So I said, "Sure, if you want, but it's awful, like it's terrible." And she said, "It tastes fine to me, Kelly. Could you be pregnant?" And I looked at her and she's like, "You may want to take a test because when I was pregnant, coffee tasted terrible to me."
Wow.
And so that night we got another pregnancy test, which was not fun for me because I had taken so many. And I had my husband look at it, and he's like, he showed it to me. He's like, "It's never looked like this before." And he showed it to me. And I remember holding my breath for a very long time. And I made a call. He said, "I think you need to call the doctor." So I did the next day. He called me back, actually. He phoned me. And he said, "Congratulations." And I said, "Well, I haven't come to see you yet." And he's like, "They're pretty accurate these days." He's like, "Come and see me and we'll talk about prenatal vitamins and all that jazz." And I had already just taken this in nursing. So, but he shook my hand when I went in, and I remember we surprised everyone on Thanksgiving. We told our family, and then we surprised everyone at a Halloween party we had. And it was a really, really happy time. Even my personal Facebook page still has the picture of Scott and I getting our family photos done, and we hadn't told anyone yet. And I look so happy that I keep that picture on my Facebook page because we had this special surprise growing inside us. And it was my biggest dream coming true.
Well, not only that, I mean, your viewpoint of reality and how everything works must have fundamentally changed in that moment.
Yes, it did. And at the same time, I wondered if I was still allowed, deservability hadn't caught up yet. So I was still wondering if I was allowed to dream big. Like, this was my biggest dream. And a new level of perfectionism came in. There was a new level of, okay, I'm going to be the perfect mom.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I tell people is, you know, when we attach to, I use motherhood as my example all the time of attachment, because when I'm attached to being the best mom or the perfect mom, then when I put my son's snack in my daughter's lunch and my daughter's snack in my son's lunch and they come home and say, oh, mom, you put the snack in the wrong lunch. If I'm not attached to that perfect mom or really good mom, I can go with it and say, oh, sorry about that. Do you want to eat them now? If I'm attached to being the perfect mom, I start beating myself up and feeling like the worst mom in the world, even though it's only a snack.
Mm.
So what if I'm my kid's mom and I'm doing the best I can in every moment?
Yes, which is reality. As soon as you attach, you're getting in the way again, right?
Locking. Yep. Yeah.
Wow. And so you've
talking about getting out of the way, about a year after we had our son, my husband said, well, it took 7.5 years for this one.
Yeah,
Should we start trying for another? And I say Source has a sense of humor because first try on the second one. So I attempted to go back to nursing and finish my degree, but I ended up wanting to spend every moment with these children of mine, these blessings, these divine miracles. So, yeah, so we have two children.
Wow. Ah, this is why we peel the onion from the outside. What a great story and what a great experience. And so many people can understand and relate. And the energy descriptions and involvement in, you know, the results you were getting. It's so clear how things work. I just love this. So, you had two kids. Your paramount viewpoint of reality was different forever. Where did that take you next?
Perfectionism again and exhaustion again. So it was a honeymoon having one. And then the second one came and she was amazing, but completely different than the first one.
Yeah,
and and what I was able to do before, I was no longer able to do with two.
Mm.
And I still thought it was normal to do your vacuuming and your part-time job and everything else between 9 and 4 in the morning. So I know, I didn't know that sleep was a requirement to healing and to integrating and to rejuvenation. And in 2011, I got myself to a life coach, and her name is Shauna Campbell, and she helped me save my life yet again.
Mm.
And I remember sitting in her office and she had me bring my calendar, and we'd keep clearing the decks. We'd keep cutting things out of my life. And really the reality was I was saying yes to everyone in order to be loved.
Yeah.
And it was killing me.
What did you replace that with?
Oh, you know, I had been working on the Heal Your Life work for so long and really reading everything I could, but I was, you know how when you reacquaint yourself with spirituality, it's almost like you replace the human ego with spiritual ego. and start trying to do everything perfect there. And so I kept trying to clear more out, and I've been doing it almost ever since. But what I realized was I was deserving of dreaming more than, like, my dreams weren't over. And that's what she made me realize. She made me realize that I am worth having more dreams and going after them. So I kept going to her. She kept clearing my schedule, and it was still so full. Like, if we were invited to 5 birthday parties in one day, we would find a way to go to all 5. Like, that's how ingrained this people pleasing was. Like, it's probably the extreme, but what I've learned over time is there's other people that are wearing themselves out through saying yes to things that aren't aligned with their soul as well. So it's really about boundaries, and I didn't have any. So in 2014, so this is 3 years after I went to my life coach, I decided that I was deserving. And in that time, I'm doing vision boards, and I'm creating all kinds of little things. Like, I'm attracting, the law of attraction is working for me. I'm attracting completed vision boards worth of little dreams, which is starting to build my confidence in the idea of that there could be something bigger. And during that time, we were also, my dad's health wasn't good. So he was having these brain bleeds. So I was also overextending myself with a succession plan we were doing for the family business. And also doing my best to support my mom and dad with my dad's health changes. And so still having this idea that I could fix and be Wonder Woman and pull on my boots and put my cape on and fly over the back fence and help some way. So it was a little bit of chaos. And then you include the needs of young children. And so in 2014, I thought, I want to take a 2-day Heal Your Life workshop. That's my next dream. And I couldn't find one. I know they were going on, but I think the universe put me in connection with Patricia Crane and Rick Nichols. And that's who Louise passed her the torch too. When she got really busy with her book, and she passed the workshops on to Patricia Crane and her husband, Rick Nichols. And I was watching a Cheryl Richardson and Louise Hay movie, and Patricia had stood up and they were talking about the Heal Your Life workshop training and how you could be trained to teach them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they do. Like, they do exist. And I tried to find one in Canada, couldn't. So I left my babies for the first time. The night before I left, my husband was trying to get my phone on the right roaming so I could use my cell phone while I was in the States, but forgot to give it back to me. So my first trip without kids to San Diego alone is without my cell phone. And I went for the 2-day workshop, even though I knew it was workshop training. So I paid a lot for the 2-day workshop because it was a trip to San Diego. Like, it was a real investment in myself. And my self-esteem was so low. My self-confidence was so low at that time. I was exhausted. And I say I went there for self-growth, and I came back on purpose. Because I came back from that training, and it was just so beautiful being in the energy of like-minded. You know how it is, like-minded people, safe people who are loving you for all of you. And no expectation except for that which I was putting on myself, the perfect roommate, the perfect group coming together at the perfect time, and acceptance. Like, I received acceptance, and it was just magical. I came back, walked into a cloth diapering store, and the owner of the store said, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you in a bit." And I said, "I went to this Heal Your Life training." She said, "Okay, when are you doing your first workshop here? Moms and babies need this work." And I got started.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so interesting about the phone being left at home, because they obviously wanted you focused in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
So not subtle.
Yeah.
So you started teaching your own Louise Hay workshops?
I did, and I started out with vision boards and Mummy and Me meditations and affirmations, and my kids would teach with me, which was really fun. And I just did what Louise did. I answered the phone and opened the mail and just responded in the moment. I was still working a part-time direct sale business at that time, but the kids were starting to get older, and I knew they'd be going to school eventually, and I thought, well, this is what I could do for me. And it was really my first really allowing myself to dream big again.
So where did things go from there?
A year later, I decided to, I was still trying to figure out what to do when I grew up. I had all these interests, but still hadn't figured it out. And I felt on purpose while doing the workshops. Like, I really felt, you know, there was just so much love and so much love in the work. And I found I was attracting people that were just one step behind where I had been. And it felt really good to serve. And so I was sitting with my life coach, and I said, she said, "Well, what are things that light you up? What excites you?" I said, "I'd like to do what you're doing." And she said, "Well, if you want to do what I'm doing, you're already a coach. If that's a deep desire, you're already a coach." So I went back to Carlsbad in 2015, and I took my Heal Your Life coach training. And I was among, like, not many of the people there had had coaching before, so I was actually in a really good space, because I had already been being coached for 3 years, so I knew what it was about, and I felt really comfortable, and I felt like I was really aligning with my soul. I felt euphoric. I felt like even the group, again, the perfect group always comes together at the perfect time. And I know you see this with your work. Like, it's just beautiful how it all works out. It's divine planning at its best. And so I loved Carlsbad. I came back even more on purpose, but my confidence was still a bit low. And I felt like I needed more. And I know this about myself. I love learning. I'm a 9 numerologically life path. I love learning. So I just kept going. So then I took a year program with the QSCA. It came through a reading with Colette Baron-Reed for me to do that. So I checked in and I got a yes. Didn't really know Christy Whitman, but enrolled in her program. And in my pod group, there was a beautiful intuitive that just knew Abraham left, right, and center, and so did my roommate at Heal Your Life for the first training. And little did I know when I signed up for it, the Ask and It Is Given was our main textbook for the coach training. And it was all law of attraction. coach training. So it was all based on Abraham processes.
Nice.
So in a year, I became a master manifester and started manifesting really big things. And it moved from materialism to, you know, divine manifesting. And I started coaching and teaching my clients to do the same in their lives, and really enjoyed coaching. Like, it just lit me up.
What kind of big things were you manifesting?
Well, we renovated our house, and we really trusted that. Like, we didn't really, like, we had talked about it for 13 years. So when my husband said, okay, it's time to renovate, I called the builder and I had them start, even though we didn't have things lined up financially. And the clearing, we had a line of builder's line of credit, and the inspection would happen just at the right time to release more funds for the builder. And and we really created our dream home. One of our best friends designed it for us, and it was the house my husband's been in since he was 8 years old, but we made it our own. Manifested a trip to Disneyland for my family because it coincided with my coach training. So really created that. Really manifested clients. I asked the universal manager to be in charge of my schedule, and brought the most beautiful clients my way, like just lovely. Manifested a coaching space when I needed it. Brendan Bouchard had me come to one of his trainings for free. There's been so many, and I'm so in the present these days. I have a hard time. Financial freedom was one thing that we manifested, mortgage-free. Just when I focus on something and follow the action, Nancy Levin gifted me a trip to the writer's workshop in Las Vegas. Just some really meaningful things to me. And there's 8 or 9 maybe now vision boards completed of all my desires manifesting. This one isn't manifested yet because I really want a puppy, and I haven't convinced the rest of the family yet that we're working on that one.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, look where you started to where we're at now. But where does the Akashic Record stuff come in?
Okay, so through Heal Your Life, I was helping with an expo, and my neighbor had told me about Kim Wirch, who works with empaths. And I am an empath and had no idea of it. So I wanted to get her book. And it so happens that the booth I was helping the teacher trainer for Canada, Victoria Johnson, with, and that was another thing I manifested. I feel that I manifested being able to assist with the Heal Your Life Canadian trainings once we got a Canadian Heal Your Life teacher trainer. So I was helping her with her booth, and the booth next to hers was Kim Wirch's. And Kim is an amazing healer in Alberta here. And I started driving down to Airdrie and took Reiki again with her. And when I had my first healing session with her, it was the most grounded and centered I'd ever felt in my life. And I was scattered, I was flighty, I was ungrounded, my chakras were a mess, my throat chakra felt like it constantly was full of gook. Like, it felt, I was constantly swallowing. Like, my throat chakra was such a mess. I wouldn't have been able to do an interview with you back then. It was just such a mess from not speaking my truth and not speaking up for myself and being me in this world. And she helped me heal. So I went to Reiki from her, and I started taking all the courses I could possibly take from her, because she was completely in alignment with what I understood spirituality to be. And I was really starting to experience wholeness and really strengthening my connection with oneness and knowing that it flows through me. And it was the first time I had really been in a circumstance spiritually where she wanted me to, but there was no requirement, there was no expectation, but she was really about, you know, doing whatever I wanted to do with this work. There was freedom there. It's really hard to explain because we don't find this often, where someone is such an encourager that there's no telling you what to do or no just giving you the information and allowing you to do what you need to with it. And I had been scared of the Akashic Records, even though it was one of those things where it's telling you to pay attention. Like, there's this paying attention that's happening. And so I went to her course with Natasha Mott and her, and it was the last course I hadn't taken from her. I had taken her empath development courses, and I went to level one, level two, and at the time I was taking a mentorship from her as well, because I wanted to be fully divine and fully human at the same time, and I asked for her support. And Akashic Records, everyone was clairvoyant in the class except for me. I was clear knowing and clear audient, and I thought I was doing it wrong. And then by level three, I learned, hey, I'm supposed to work for the records. Yeah. This comes easily to me. I can help people with this. I can save them time and money in helping them find their own guidance. I can do healing in the records. And so then I jumped into a mentorship with Natasha Mott, who worked similarly to me in the records. And when I went into the mentorship with her, Lord of the Akashic Records, which is like an archangel, he's an extension of Source, but he's like an archangel, and that's who I work with in the records. He oversees the records, and so I channel him. And just a whole new world opened up for me. My dad died August 18th, I took my Akashic Records Level 3 training from Kim and Natasha, and my business took off, and that was 2 years ago. And just my trajectory, my path, everything changed from that moment on.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. We are in the last 5 minutes. I can't believe it's gone this long. Not long, fast.
Yes, it has.
Get it all in there. All right, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's get you to describe your process, what your unique piece is, and how you approach Akashic Record reading.
Okay, so I'm very much about in the now. So it's whatever is required to assist someone in the moment in order to move forward. So I kept all my modalities separate until I met Kim and Ken. And then I learned Lord of the Akashic Records would be doing sessions with me, and he'd be saying, okay, we're coaching now. Oh, you're asking questions. We're coaching now. And then I realized, oh, I can coach within the records. So my goal is to connect people to their own souls. in whichever way is guided. So I really clear out any energy that is not going to serve us within the session, and I allow it to be very interactive. And what I've noticed is the records speak through our clair abilities and through the client's clair abilities. And I put Kellyanne aside and allow myself to be guided. However, my point of reference is used, and theirs is too. So it's very interactive.
Interesting. I've never, you know, I've talked to a few Akashic Record readers over the years, and I've never heard of this sort of channeling approach. Sounds very intriguing.
So how I was taught was to communicate with Lord of the Akashic Records and to clear contracts, deals, and agreements only if approved by him for their highest and greatest good. So the record keeper will not allow anything to be changed that is not meant to be changed, or anything to be cleared that is not meant to be cleared. Almost every session we clear contracts, deals, and agreements that are no longer serving, and Archangel Michael comes in to help untether, because that's his expertise. He's so great with untethering. And to really allow people to heal what's happened. Now, things come up with healing. I wouldn't say I'm a past life expert or a regressionist, but when something's ready to be healed, a past life experience may come to the forefront. And because I'm a physical empath, sometimes I'll feel maybe a tightening around the throat, and we may have to energetically remove a rope from a previous life and heal those contracts. I know that nothing that is not meant to be healed comes up. So anything that comes up to be healed, it's time, it's ready. And I allow myself to be guided to release that with the client's permission.
Interesting. Oh, my gosh, the time is just ticking away on us here. Okay. So
I know. So
I can't believe how fast it's gone. So here's what we need to do is in the last few minutes of every show, actually before we get there, we're leading up to our shameless self-promotion end segment. But just before we do that, what do you foresee doing on future shows?
Well, I'm going to be guided by Lord of the Akashic Records. In January, I'm going to have some guests on. But before that, I'm just going to let people get to know me. So we're going to do some coaching processes that I hope will serve. I have a coaching process called You Can Handle the Truth that I think we'll do next month. And I think we'll download some emotions I think we'll download wholeness, grace, and oneness next month and allow the listeners to feel that in their own body.
Love it. No, we all need that right now, especially now.
Yeah, just some calm, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great. Well, this has been so great getting to know your story and your energy and all about your approach to Akashic Records. And this is, we have a few minutes. Let's do some shameless stuff. So coming from a place of service, knowing that in this moment now, someone listening right now can very much need what you have, what you're bringing to the table. Let's get you to share anything like share about what you're promoting right now, about your services, your work, any special offering.
Sure. So in my desire to be fully human and fully divine at the same time, I was guided to the Akashic Records and to Natasha Mott. And together we co-created the Octopus Method. If you're an awakened entrepreneur or empath whose soul is calling you back to wholeness, balance, and energetic flow, this course is for you. You may be feeling overworked, exhausted, and overwhelmed. You have a vision of freedom and success, but you're too busy and distracted to expand the way you are being called to. So how do you realign with your soul's values and allow for the flow of new opportunities and greater possibilities for your business and your life? The answer is the Octopus Method. The Octopus Method is a unique methodology that helps you become one with who you are and step into your power in business and life using 8 strategies to create balance, growth, and sustainability. Our next 12-week course is being held online starting September 21st, 2020. And in advance of the course, we're hosting a free 60-minute webinar covering what will help you discover the truth of where you are right now in your business and your life. From this place of honesty, your future gets created. So this webinar can reveal your main desire for your business and your life, and the registration for it is on the 11 lists on your website, Nicole.
All right, that's newsforthesoul.com. Kellyanne, it's been great chatting with you today, and I'm looking forward to your next show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You take care. Enjoy the ride. And we'll talk to you next time. Kellyanne is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Yanya Abey is next. Transformational healing right after this quick break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Transformational Healing with Yanya. Yanya is a very powerful and intuitive energy healing practitioner. She's gifted at helping people to better handle their lives and to get a deeper understanding of their connection with spirit. Her experience is based on decades of study of many true teachings of the world, as well as her own search and practice of ancient wisdom, mystical traditions, and quantum physics. Let's welcome Yanya back to News for the Soul now.
Hello, Nicole. Good evening. Oh, it's good morning for you. But these challenges just come in incredible synchronicity. Because today I was going to talk about letting go of discouragement. And it seems like our show today, you know, we need a lot of encouragement around this show. So I'm recording it for you. And I woke up the other day feeling unable to start my day.